This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome to CBS Mornings. I'm Gail King with Nate Burleson in New York. Tony DeCopel is again reporting live from the border, Ukraine.
But we're going to get right to the war in Ukraine and the fastest growing humanitarian crisis in Europe since World War II. More than 2 million people have fled to Poland, and that's where Tony DeCopel is at the border. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Nate. Good morning, Gail. Good morning to our viewers. We got a tough story here on the border. We appreciate you sticking with us. The scene unfolding behind me is one of fresh arrivals from that war zone Nate just mentioned. Refugees, most of them children. Their first steps to safety is what you're looking at. But also a fresh outpouring of relief. We've got to mention that as well. There are new tents here. There are new donations as well. I think a special thank you is in order for whoever dropped off that Mickey and Minnie in that little girl's arms. None of this was here or scarcely here just a week ago, and it's been growing. But let's get straight to the news as well, because there is hope this morning that evacuations will take place from several key Ukrainian cities. The devastation, however, like we see here in Kharkiv, shows that it is not just military targets at risk right now from Russian bombing. Ukraine's president has released a new and defiant message from his office in Kyiv, telling the world he is not hiding anymore.
Ось вечірній Київ. Наш офіс. Понеділок, вечір. Ви знаєте, ми звикли говорити понеділок, день важкий. В країні війна, тож кожен день понеділок.
Я залишаюсь тут.
Our coverage this morning includes reports from here in Poland and also back in the U.S., but we're going to begin with Charlie Daggett. He is in Kyiv, a city that has been heavily fortified as the fight rages on just outside that city. Charlie, many of the images that you're bringing to us are also showing up on the phones of the people here coming over the border. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Tony. Yeah, it's tough to watch. A number of ceasefires have been declared in some of the hardest hit cities like Mariupol and Kharkiv, but they are shaky at best. And it has been another brutal night for civilians here. We have to warn viewers that some might find these images disturbing.
Emergency teams pick through the rubble of another apartment building flattened by Russian airstrikes overnight in a harrowing search for survivors. Finding instead lifeless bodies, families, a couple of children. Officials in the city of Sumy in northeast Ukraine say at least 21 people were killed. Adding to the atrocities and growing death toll, and the Russian military's seemingly reckless and random shelling and aerial bombardment of residential areas. Ukrainian forces are holding ground where they can, continuing to mount a fierce resistance. Yet Russian forces continue to advance to the outskirts of the capital itself, and residents are digging in, determined to defend the city. Some make Molotov cocktails. 25-year-old Stanislav would rather be drumming in his rock band. But duty beckons.
Why was it important for you to volunteer?
To volunteer because I want to be a drummer. I want to have my country free, and I just want to live my life.
This maternity hospital in Kyiv has become a makeshift bomb shelter for heavily pregnant mothers.
There's a reason they're taking shelter in the hallways in the basement of this hospital. It's just simply too dangerous. What should be one of the most magical moments for new parents has also been one of the most terrifying. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a fresh one.
Fresh one. Is this your first child?
Yep.
Sulamia and Max welcomed their son, Hevniak, into a world of air raid sirens and explosions.
I don't know. My emotions so mixed. It is the first time I can hold him.
This is your first time?
Yes, I was laying all night because the delivery was not easy.
What does it feel like to hold your son?
I cannot explain it. It is the most happy moment in my life.
The couple live on the top floor of a 9-story apartment building here in the capital. They told us they don't know when or even if they'll ever take their baby boy back home. Tony.
Charlie Daggett, heartbreaking scenes there of what so many are fleeing from. If they can, others cannot. And others are going in. The number of international fighters helping Ukraine is growing by the day. And the Ukrainian government says that more than 16,000 total now foreign fighters have arrived in the country. In just the last few days, we have met several Americans who say they are, too, planning to help Ukrainian forces. In fact, they are over the border as we speak. They told us they could just not sit back and watch.
We landed in Warsaw and saw them immediately. Three Americans headed for Ukraine. Ready to die, they say, in a fight for survival against the Russians.
And what's the plan?
The plan to help save the lives.
Of
Ukrainian people.
Andriy Penchek is a licensed truck driver who was born in Ukraine, but he launched this particular mission from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And while we read in his local paper that he's never been in a battle and used personal savings to pay for his tickets, he told us the hardest part was leaving behind his three young children.
I didn't say goodbye. I said, see you.
He said, see you later.
While U.S. soldiers are staying out of Ukraine, everyday Americans like this are not specifically restricted from going in, says acting U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Christina Kaveen.
What does the American government say to Americans who are volunteering for combat in Ukraine?
We encourage all Americans not to travel to Ukraine right now, and those Americans who are in Ukraine to leave Ukraine because it is not safe.
Closer to the border, however, we caught up with bipartisan leaders of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman Gregory Meeks and Michael McCaul, who had just seen the war's human toll up close.
How do each of you feel about our fellow countrymen joining the fight there?
I think that what they see and what people around the world are seeing is democracy's at stake. And as President Zelensky said to us, this is not just a fight for Ukrainian people. This is a fight for all of us. It's just starting here.
Ukrainians have inspired the world, and these freedom fighters, I call them.
But on Thursday, Russia's military warned foreign fighters they'd be treated as mercenaries, not as protected combatants under international law.
As far as I see, civilians are not protected by humanitarian law, so I don't take much credence to anything they say.
We spotted Christopher Callis in full body armor walking toward the checkpoint into Ukraine. Before the war, this trained pastry chef with no military experience had been splitting his time between the New York culinary scene and Ukraine. But after evacuating his Ukrainian wife and baby to safety in Portugal, he decided to go back. Not to fight, he says, but to help others.
So you're Ukrainian by marriage, but on paper you're an American about to enter Ukraine to join the war effort.
Yes.
Are you worried?
I am absolutely worried, yes. But I'm more worried for the people there who are not able to leave.
Is this something you're prepared to die for?
Yes. I want my child to have a Ukraine to go back to when she's grown up.
So we lost contact with Chris for a couple of days, but we did hear from him this morning. No pictures, but he said he is in, quote, deep. As for Andriy's, his group, we did get a picture from them. They are over the border. Take a look at it there. There's a sign with Ukraine on it. And we also noticed there on their car, they brought the American flag with them, still representing. I'm joined now by our own Christina Ruffini. She's been here at the Polish border covering the refugee crisis. We keep talking about women and children leaving the war zone, but they're still helping back home, aren't they?
They are, and just by being here, they're helping. It was actually a young Ukrainian man who told us that by bringing their children out, by bringing civilians out, they are helping the military be able to focus on what they need to do by taking civilians out of the way. They've also been acting as couriers. We've seen women with EU-tagged cars that can go back across the border or go anywhere in Europe running in to get family. And then this weekend, we met a young woman. She's 29 years old. She worked in journalism and communications. She was here for about 30 minutes. We followed her across the border. She went and picked up a car that was full of night vision goggles. Wow. It had sleeping bags. It had antibiotics, all kinds of supplies. And she took the keys and she was driving it to the front to donate it to the Ukrainian military. She said, look, I don't have a gun. I can't fire a gun. I can't fight, but this is what I can do. And so this is how I'm volunteering to help.
Everyone helping in their own way. Christina Ruffini, great reporting once again. And Gail and Nate, as I send it back to you in New York, there is one more story I wanted to mention. We've been covering the war on information, the disinformation effort on behalf of the Russians in Russia. We met a woman yesterday. Her name is Natasha, and she came from Kharkiv. She had spent 8 days in a subway station there in avoiding bombs. And what she told us was that her brother in Moscow, who she's communicating with, sending pictures, telling him about the horrors in Ukraine. He does not believe her, guys. Looking at his sister, hearing from her, he sides with Russia. That is the power of disinformation and why the truth matters, but the truth is not always enough.
Tony, he is looking at the pictures. It's his own sister who he knows.
I know.
He still doesn't believe. That's astonishing to me.
It really is. It really is. But it's why what is happening here is so important.
Yes, yes, yes.
And power of disinformation, like Tony is saying, over your own blood.
Yes, and so important, Tony, that you were telling the story. We've all got eyes and ears, and we are all watching. Thank you, Tony. We'll be back with you a little bit later on. The conflict boosted gas prices here in the U.S. to an all-time high overnight. The national average is now $4.17 a gallon. The Biden administration is still considering options to try to ease some of the pain at the pump. Weesha Jang is at the White House with more on that part of the story. Weesha, the prices are going up, and people here are not happy, but I hear people are willing to pay if it's going to help the people in Ukraine. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Gail. Good morning, everybody. That's exactly why Congress is still preparing to pass bipartisan legislation to stop buying Russian oil, because lawmakers say they don't want any American dollars funding the war. And President Biden has vowed to do whatever he can along the way to bring gas prices down. But it is who he is turning to instead of Russia that is raising some new questions. On a video call, President Biden and European allies promised to keep punishing Russia, possibly with a ban on buying its oil. A new national poll shows the majority of Americans, 71%, said they would support the move, even if it meant higher gas prices here in the U.S.
No decision has been made at this point.
Speculation alone caused stocks to tumble Monday on Wall Street, marking the worst day of the year for the Dow and S&P 500, while prices at the pump soared, hitting a 14-year average high of more than $4.
Is there any way to gauge how much pain people should brace themselves for?
I do think that there is a path to potentially seeing, you know, $5 a gallon.
Russian oil only makes up about 3% of U.S. oil imports. But Halima Croft, a commodity strategist, warns if other Western countries also cut off Moscow, the shortage would drive up costs everywhere. Croft says even though the White House is talking to Iran and Venezuela about making up the difference, only one source can offer an instant solution, Saudi Arabia.
And the question is, is President Biden willing to place the phone call to the Saudi crown prince?
This is all a means of exposing the insanity of U.S. energy policy that forces us to negotiate between one brutal dictator and another brutal dictator.
And the White House is pushing back against reports that President Biden plans to travel to Saudi Arabia to talk about oil, saying there are no such plans right now. As for Russian oil, some European leaders have already said that's not realistic for them to stop buying it because the economic consequences would be so dire. If the U.S. implements an embargo alone, experts say that would have more of a symbolic than a financial impact. Nate.
We'll have to wait and see. Ouija, thank you. Police in Des Moines, Iowa have detained several potential suspects in a school shooting. It happened outside East High School just before dismissal time yesterday. A 15-year-old boy was killed, and two teenage girls are in critical condition. Police say the shots appear to have come from a passing car. The teen who died was not a student at the school. Classes are canceled today.
Very sorry to hear that. It shows you, Nate, how intense the news is. The school shooting isn't even the lead story. That's how upsetting the news is these days.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. From famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.